You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
So last week, Pastor John's sermon began our exploration into the book of Acts. As a reminder, Acts was written by the same person who wrote the Gospel of Luke. Many scholars believe that these two books should be studied together. Whatever the case is, it's clear that they were written with the same audience in mind. The Gospel of Luke begins, "Most honorable Theophilus." Many others have tried to give a report of things that happened among us to complete God's plan. What they have written agrees with what we learned from the people who saw the events from the beginning. They also served God by telling people God's message. I studied it all carefully from the beginning. Then I decided to write it down for you in an organized way. I did this so you can be sure that what you have been taught is true. And the book of Acts begins addressed to the same person. "Dear Theophilus, the first book I wrote was about everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was carried up into heaven. Before he went, he talked to the apostles he had chosen. With the help from the Holy Spirit, he told them what they should do." So we know that the book of Acts is going to tell us about what happened after Jesus was crucified, buried, and ascended into heaven. In other words, what happened after Easter. Now, at least some of you technical people are wondering why we did the first chapter in Acts last week, and now we've jumped to the third. It's because the second chapter in Acts tells us about the Pentecost. And this year in the Christian calendar, Pentecost isn't till May 15th. So we're just skipping it, once again being flexible, and guess what's going to happen on May 15th? We'll have Pentecost here. But back to the book of Acts. This book is going to take us almost 30 years forward into the life of Christians and the beginning of the church. It's so important when we read the book of Acts that we read it thinking about the dire circumstances, the dangerous times in which it took place. The leader of this new movement, Jesus, he's just been crucified by the government. His body has disappeared under very strange circumstances. His followers are afraid for their own lives. And yet, the Christian movement goes forward. Jesus' followers begin to share their story and the story of Jesus. They share what they believe, and the early church begins.
One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3:00 in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." The man fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
There are several important points in this scripture that Doug just read to us. Number one, the detail that Luke puts in his narrative. At this time, there were two services in the temple, one in the morning and one in the afternoon at 3:00. And Luke tells us the exact time that it begins. As we see, two of Jesus' disciples, Peter and John, are still attending temple on a regular basis. I believe in life, the details of the story bring credibility to the story. Even today, if you read a headline in the grocery store, you know it's not true because there are no details after it. For us to believe a story, we do seek those details. Even today, as fast as technology tells us things, the old questions of who, what, where, when, how, they must be answered. The second important point of the story, this man had been crippled his whole life. He had friends or he had family that took care of him every day and brought him to the gate to beg and took him home again. He was well known in the community. He was recognized by everybody. The third important point, the expectation of this crippled man was to be given money. The last few months, if you were here, you remember we worked through the book of Mark. And over we studied stories that talked about people's expectation of Jesus. And how many people asked Jesus for healing? Mark's mother-in-law, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, the woman who bled for 12 years. They ask for healing. But this crippled man, he doesn't ask that. He doesn't ask for healing, which would be the long-term solution to his problem. He asks for money. The short-term answer that only helps him today, and he'll be back in the same place tomorrow. So that's the overview of the story. Peter and John tell the man to look at them. Now, I think there had to be a lot of activity in the temple. It was probably very noisy. The disciples wanted to make sure that they had the attention of this man before they did anything. They wanted to make sure that this man understood the words that they were going to use, that they understood who was going to perform this miracle. Not them, but Jesus Christ. They wanted to make sure that this man understood who gave them power. And then Peter explains that they don't have silver or gold, which is what they are asked for, but they have something to give him through the healing power of Jesus Christ. And of course, the man is healed. I've heard sermons on this subject before, and they're very important because they talk about the healing power of Jesus Christ. It's a great and timeless message. But this morning, I want to focus on something a little different. What this story actually says to us and our lives in 2016. We don't hear a lot of stories today about miraculous healings done only through the power of Jesus Christ. And if we did, we most likely would ask, who, what, where, when, and how did that happen? In fact, there's a story about Thomas Aquinas about this very passage, particularly focusing on the words of Peter. Remember, Peter said, I have no silver or gold. So it is said that Aquinas once called on Pope Innocent II while the Pope was counting out a large sum of money. The Pope said to Thomas, you see, the church can no longer say we have no silver or gold. And Thomas Aquinas replied, true, Holy Father, but neither can she say, rise and walk. Is the gain so great that the loss is acceptable? It's something I think about a lot. In our scripture, Peter and John clearly know who they are, what power they have, and by whom they were given that power. They are two of the 12 that were chosen by Jesus. They, along with their brothers, James and Andrew, were fishermen when Jesus called them to be his followers. Peter ultimately was a leader in the church in Rome, and most theologians and historians feel that he was martyred. John very well may have been that beloved disciple that Jesus refers to in his crucifixion, and may have been the person who Jesus asks to take care of his mother, Mary. Theologians believe that he was the author of the Gospel of John, at least one of the books of John that are in the New Testament, and the book of Revelation. However, these ideas are supported by some and argued by others, so I just put them out there to you. It is agreed, however, that John was the only disciple that was not martyred, and he lived a long life, and he died in Ephesus. But at the time of this event, they were together in Jerusalem. It is assumed by the events before and after this that they were sharing their knowledge and experience of Jesus with the Jews. In fact, they were openly proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah to anyone who would listen. This was very dangerous. They were being watched. They often had to hide, and they were always in danger of being questioned by either the government or the Jewish leaders. But we also know they were experiencing great joy. The church was growing. The fellowship of believers was huge. They were sharing their resources. They felt like they were a community. And this joy of being a community was something that they wanted to share. And through them and others, the church was growing. But Peter and John, they had a choice. They had several choices, as a matter of fact. They could walk away from Jesus, forget that it ever happened, Jesus was gone, and resume their life. That was the least risky choice. They could continue to be part of the community of believers, but not take a leadership role. Therefore, enjoy what Jesus had taught them and the new life that they had, but be at less risk for persecution. Their lives most likely would not have been threatened. Or they could go boldly forward, sharing the gospel and Jesus' teachings, and through the power of Jesus Christ, perform miracles like they did in this story. And we know which one that they chose. And so what of us? In this beautiful sanctuary this morning, rain for 3 days, which we desperately needed, everything is clean, beautiful outside. What are we asked to risk right now in our lives, sitting here today? In what way do you need to be courageous? For I am absolutely convinced that the lesson we are to learn from this story today is one of a personal challenge, our personal choice. Is our faith supposed to be an easy walk? Several weeks ago, when I was driving home, I was listening to BBC Radio. And as many of you know, I live in Santa Clarita, so my drive home is very long, and I listen to a lot of radio. And they did a series on the Christian refugees in Pakistani Christian refugees that are living in Thailand. They have a terrible life. And yet, person after person, when interviewed, declared how wonderful Jesus was to them, the wonderful blessings that they have been given, and the hope that Jesus had put in their lives. I have a friend, his name is Jean Bouchabel, and he works for World Vision in the Syrian refugee camps. And one of the great stories he always shares is how the Christian refugees in these camps are always sharing their food, their clothing, anything they have with everyone else. And as they do that, they share their continued faith in Jesus. John tells us that the Muslims who are receiving these sparse gifts from the Christians are so stunned that these people are still declaring Jesus as their Lord. These Muslims are amazed that it is the Christian relief groups that are working and giving. It is the Christians who are financially supporting the camps that John works in. John is called to do this regardless of the risk. It is his choice that he has taken. Is our faith supposed to be an easy walk? I don't think so, because we are called to serve God. And I think God puts a lot of opportunities in front of us, and it is our free will to respond. But we are called. Sometimes the opportunity just requires a little shift in our lives. Work on a mission project for a day, or write a small check for a special offering. Some opportunities require more. To give up time consistently each week to serve Meals on Wheels, or work in the church office, or teach Sunday school. And sometimes the requirement is even more. To write a sacrificial check on Sunday morning that requires you to step out in faith. Or inviting a coworker or a friend to something the church is doing, even if they express to you the fact that they're not interested in church. And maybe one of the riskiest things of all, sharing your faith with others. I know that God puts opportunities in front of each one of us, and it is our choice whether to respond or not. But I also believe that God will always give us the tools we need in order to respond. Is our faith supposed to be an easy walk? I know there's been lots of times in my life where God has put things in front of me that have not been easy to respond to, and yet I have done it. Going to seminary when I was old, very old, really old. One time God asked me to put a stranger through college. It's a long story, I won't go into it, but true. Okay. Other things that God has called me to do that have not been easy, but I know that God called me and I responded. And I want you to notice I didn't list all the things that God called me to do that I completely ignored and let go, okay? Because that list is very long. And sometimes I think about that, why I didn't respond and what happened in that situation. Because now, today, I know that God would have provided the tools I needed in order to respond. Just like Peter and John responded, they knew what the Lord had provided to them, and they boldly went forward. So I conclude by saying, make the risky choice and serve God as God calls you. He has chosen each one of you, each one of us, to serve in some way. Each one is called in a different way because we have different gifts and different tools. But God will provide resources for us as long as we say yes. Is our faith an easy walk? No, I don't think so. But I believe responding to God will give us a fulfilling life. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.